the eyes of my heart as Wade comes to minister the word unto us this day. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you? I want to see you.
Let's possibly love you.
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him, Miss Morning?
Amen.
Tell him now.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
You want to see him? I hope you didn't come to see me today. I hope you came to see him. For him to be an active participant in this service, not just a bystander, as we always say, because there's going to be bystanders to record what we're saying. But we want God Almighty to be the active participant in the service. And if you brought him with you, then you must be the active participant in the service. All right? There's not a separation. Right, Brother Richard, there's not a separation. It's you and God in there together as persons. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Well, finally, this is the Sunday. I was going to fool all of you and wear blue jeans and a t-shirt and let you guess again. But Brother Chris got the revelation and he decided to dress up. So he might be able to help me this afternoon. So. You got your Bibles? Let's go ahead and start. I know the ones of you that were at the enrichment ceremony or Valentine's banquet that we had. You kind of got a little snippet of what I was gonna bring, but I want to kind of give you just kind of a little background. I had been thinking about this actually since about probably when we went to Kansas hunting, kind of sitting on a deer stand, you know, thinking about things and. Thinking about life, and you know, Dad's been through this many, many times, but we got a lot of new ones that maybe have not heard it, and I surely am not going to, I'm not going to go into the wisdom of it like he has, because he's been around a lot longer than I have. But maybe by now, being married to the same woman for 32 years, I've learned some things. A lot of things. And maybe we are able to, since our life has been full and rich, that maybe we can help you have your life, make your life full and rich. Because that, you know, God doesn't want us to be separate. We're going to find out and go through the scriptures that God fully expected us to be man and woman. Wasn't a surprise in the garden. He actually separated us to have fellowship with each other. Husband and wife. Man and woman. All right, but there's institutions that come in of marriage and of things that and covenants that comes in and vows, and we're just going to try to break that down and reading out of 1 Peter 3, it kind of 1 Peter 3 kind of covers from 1 to 7, covers the whole scope of what we're going to be speaking on, and just bear with me and bear with them in the back. We got a lot of quotes and we got a lot of scripture. So Brother Tim asked me, was I going to move around a little bit? Well, maybe not so much, because we're going to read what the prophet has to say. And like Dad said, this was not done because of one person or one situation. No, I've been thinking about this since November and just kind of running it over in my mind and reading in that book of courtship and marriage and all that brother put out in Canada. And it just kind of sparked an interest to go back through and just kind of go over, because I'm going to read you a quote in a minute where Brother Branham says, without these primer, he calls them. Without these basic things, you are not going to understand heavenly things. Okay? And I was telling them this week, I said, we don't want to spiritualize this thing. Let's don't go up in the clouds. I know we're supposed to commune with the Lord. I know the Lord's always with us. But you see your wife and your family more than you see Jesus. You live with your family. Come on. Amen. Let's just be honest. I get a visitation from God just every once in a while. But I got to go home to my wife every day. I got to deal with problems in my family every day. I got to deal with problems in my life every day. So you can think about Christ in the church if you want to, but we got to get past this guy right here. Amen. Right here is where it starts. Now we're gonna take in and use some spiritual applications, but don't go off in the heavenlies. No, we got problems right here. Right. You know, Brother Brown said one time, or somebody made a quote that sometimes we're so heavenly minded there were no earthly good, right. And then we're so earthly minded we're no heavenly good. So there must be a balance in there somewhere. Sorry. That we can live and be honorable and you know we're gonna find out some things maybe that you didn't know. But this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to call it Family Matters. Not Family Matters, Family Matters. The Family Matters. Part one is going to be marriage. Part two will be role of the male. Part three will be role of the female. So we're going to separate it. Part four is going to be family. All right? So we start in 1 Peter 3, verse 1. And while you read it in the King James Version, I'm going to read it in the emphatic diglot, because it brings out a few more things that maybe the King James Version does not. So let's just think about natural lives. We'll use some spiritual applications, and we know this all goes to Christ in the church, but if we can't live together as husband and wife, nurture each other and grow as a family, you can forget. You can forget about being married to Christ. Alright? Alright? Amen. All right, chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Let's pray before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know in our heart that when we sat down last night, there was a presence coming in the room that I hadn't felt in a long time. I wanted to know if this was right, and I think you confirmed it. Thank you, Lord, for our families. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for all the things you've done for us. You've done so much for us, even though we didn't want it to be done. You've just overflowed us with grace and mercy, and that's what we're going to try to not be so hard, Lord, but we're going to see how that you instituted many things that we're supposed to do, and it's not do's and don'ts, but it's out of love. And how love came together and brought us into the Garden of Eden, and how that Satan came in and separated us. And Lord, he's trying to do that again. He's trying to separate the very foundation of marriage and vows and things on the earth. Lord, Satan is so deluded and perverted the things that we're supposed to hold most sacred. And that's our lives and our families and our wives and our husbands and our children. Lord, and also our church family. Lord, may this series bring us all together in one as you are one, Lord, you and Christ, one. Lord, may we all be one and the same. You prayed that prayer in John 17, Lord, that we may be one with you like you are with the Father. We pray now, Lord, that you would strengthen us, give us the mind of Christ and the knowledge to be able to speak the words that you want spoken, Lord, to be an active participant, Lord, in this service, not to be a bystander. But Lord, take over and have preeminence in all of our lives and our hearts. Bless us and be with us, Lord, that we not say anything that would hinder spirit, Lord, not say anything that would hinder you, Father, but that we will be obedient children and not bastard children and not want to change and not want to do the right thing, Lord, because you told us we were that if we weren't able to change, that we were just bastard children. Father, that's a hard statement, but it's the truth. We want to be obedient children, Lord, to be changed into your image, Father. Bless us today, Lord. Let us be better husbands and better wives. Let us be better children and better servants for you, Father. We ask your blessings, Lord, of the people that are listening, that they will listen attentively and be, Lord, active participants also in the service, Lord, to give glory to you, Lord. If we were at a ball game and our favorite team was winning, we'd be shouting and and glorying, and here we are with eternal life being spoken, and we just sit and sleep. Father, I pray that you just make us, quicken us, make us more alive, Lord, to you, Father, not to things of the world. Father, just give us of your Holy Spirit today. Bless us and keep us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 3. I'm going to read the diglot, and you just read along there. And Brother Dick walked by me the other day and said, how in the world can you see this? Well, it's kind of hard, especially when your contacts are wet. All right, let's read 1 Peter 3, verse 1. In like manner, let wives be subject to their own husbands, so that if some are disobedient to the word, they may without a word be gained through the conduct of their wives. We're going to read a quote in a minute. You wives hold a very sacred part in this whole thing. Having seen your conduct chaste with fear, or chaste or clean, whose decorations let it not be that external one of braiding of the hair and putting on of gold chains or wearing of apparel, but decorate the hidden man of the heart with what is incorruptible, a meek and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For thus formerly also those holy women who hoped in God adorned themselves, being subject to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you are become, doing good and not fearing any terror. In like manner, now here's going to be our focus right here. In like manner, husbands, dwell according to knowledge with the female as the weaker vessel, bestowing honor as being also, listen to the diglot, as being also joint heirs of the gracious gift of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered. Have you ever read that before? I know in the marriage enrichment we were, you know, I read that, and that's going to be the whole theme of this thing, the underlying theme. Did you read that again? In order, verse 1 through 7, if you do this, your prayers will not be hindered. But if you don't, that your prayers be not hindered. Your conduct between each one of us hinders our prayers to God. You say, oh, I get all the things. No, you don't. No, you don't. I was thinking this morning, you be seated. You know, we always make that quote, we live below our privileges. We live below our privileges. Well, you know what? We've been saying that for 40 years. Someday we're going to have to say, we are now living our privileges. Because if we don't, and we keep saying that, what are we going to do? We're just saying a prophecy. We're just prophesying. Right. And that's going to put us in an early grave. But there it says, joint heirs in Peter. Joint heirs. See, in the King James, it just says being heirs. But see, joint heirs. Because we're not joint heirs now. Husband has rule over the wife. Everybody's fanning, so I'm hot up here, so you'll just have to bear with me for a minute. But 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 7 kind of brings everything together. Now, let's go to, you're going to have to get your Bibles out. You don't have to. You can read up here. Let's go to Numbers 30, because everything starts with a vow. Now, marriage is a union between a man and a woman, not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. I hope we're totally beyond that. But it starts with a promise or an oath or a vow, until death do you part. Now, do we have to go through that again? I don't think so. But in Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. Now, the reason I'm reading is because we're going to get to that. I'm going to have to bring some things together. I was telling the brothers back there, that I'm going to read some quotes two or three times, because we're going to pick certain things out, because we're going to stay today with marriage. Then we're going to break it down to the role of the male, break it down to the role of the female, and then bring it back together as a family. So we're going to be using sometimes the same quotes and the same scripture, because right here, this proves that the father is the head of the child as long as that child is at home. All right? So if, and her father, if a woman also vow unto the Lord, bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she has bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallows her in the day that he heareth, not 6 months, not 6 years, Brother Dale's already been through this, so we don't have to go through this again. Not any of her vows or her bonds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed it. That's what I told you before. As long as the boy and as long as the girl is at home, you're their Holy Ghost. You're their circumcision. They come under the circumcision of the household of the male, because the females can't be circumcised, right? All right, now let's go to Deuteronomy 23. These brothers got a boatload to do this morning, so just bear with them. All right, listen to this. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. See how sacred this thing is. For even both these are abominations to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not lend upon usury. What is usury? Interest. I'm telling Brother Donnie this yesterday. You're not supposed to charge interest to your brother. Christian or real brother. You're not supposed to charge interest to a brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, anything. What you're supposed to do is lend them the money or give them the money. And don't expect nothing in return. Use usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger, though, we got to make a living. You can charge interest. Praise the Lord. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury. That the Lord thy God may bless thee. Now here's a blessing. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand in to the land whither thou goest to possess it. Look at verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require of thee, and it will be sin, in other words, if you don't do it. That okay? It'll be sin if you don't do it. All right? Now, go to Ecclesiastes 5. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. How about that? When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is thee that thou shouldest not even make the vow, in other words, than to make the vow and not keep it. Same way with the vow of marriage. The vow of marriage is the same way. When you vow a vow, it's until death do us part. All right, now I know I'm not going to get into marriage and divorce, so don't get all squirmy. Because I know a lot of us have not kept that vow. But that's between you and the Lord. I'm just telling you, in a marriage that you're in right now, we've got to deal with just, I'm going to deal with here. That's Brother Dale's part to deal with marriage and divorce, not mine. Not yet. Anyway. But it's his to deal with, not mine. And you know what? We all have problems. All of us have problems with that. So that's what Daddy said. There's no one person we're pointing at. No one group or no. I just want us to see what marriage is and what it can be more. You say, well, I have a good marriage. Do you? When the rubber meets the road, do you have a good marriage? Does that marriage convert over into your relationship with God? Because remember, if your marriage is not right, your prayers will be hindered. You can say you're Superman. I don't care who you say you are. You can leap tall buildings at a single bound. I don't care. The Bible says your prayers will be hindered if you can't live with your wife or your husband in holy matrimony as unto the Lord. Now, some of you, there's no finger pointing to some of you that don't, your wives are not here. Some of them, your husbands are not here. I'm sorry. I'm just going to read you what the prophet said. And I'm just going to read you what the Bible said. Okay? I'm not against nobody. I love every one of you. You know, you should know that by now. And this is not Regina Arline bashing, or, you know, she don't care if I use her name. I'm not bashing people. I just want us to realize.
Right.
You know, I was looking up the quote vow. Every time, well, 99.9% of the time Brother Branham used the word vow, he went to that woman. Remember the woman that committed adultery with the man while her husband was in service? There's about 87 times he uses that story. He said that got so deep, he said, into the gable part of her soul.
Yeah.
You know what a gable is on a house? He said it got into the gable part of her soul and she forgot about it. And nobody could bring it out. No, he said no psychiatrist. He said no drug. Nothing was going to bring that out except the Holy Spirit went back in her life, saw that she had been untrue to her vow, but remember her husband was also. But she had let that get so far back.
Right.
You know, like Aaron said, you know, you got things in your house you hadn't used for 7 years. Well, you shouldn't. You don't need them if they've been there for 7 years and you never used them. But what you do, you just keep pushing boxes on top of boxes, right? What had happened, she had let that go for so long till it had went so far back into her soul. So she forgot about it, really. So the Holy Spirit brought her back out. Remember what happened, though? She said, you got to go tell him. Well, he'll divorce me. Well, he'd done the same thing to you. So they come together, and Brother Brown said they came together and become a very happy couple. Why? They confessed sin. Unconfessed sin is why we're still here. Unconfessed sin is why we're still here.
Amen.
All right? So let's see if we can dig some of that out. Let's go to the very origin of marriage, Genesis 1. My favorite scripture. Because you vow a vow, you better keep that vow.
Amen.
Now listen. Brother Branham, now this is what he said. I just looked at it back there and I didn't have time to run it off. Brother Branham said, one time a foolish king in the Bible made a vow. Now the Bible don't say he was a foolish king. But Brother Branham said he was a foolish king. Remember he said, the first thing comes through my door, I'll sacrifice it. Remember it was his daughter. He said, now listen guys, he said, don't be making no foolish vows. If you know better and you vowed anyway, you've committed iniquity. And we're going to get to that. You committed iniquity. God's not going to hold you if you tell 14 women you're going to marry them. Thank you. But which one? You got to have one true, and you can't have 14 of them. Something's got to happen. But that's foolishness to walk up and say, well, Brother Dale, I promised 14 women I'd marry her. Marry them. That's stupid. Well, sorry. We don't use that word at the office. We're not going to use it here. That was foolish. But let's don't be foolish. We vow a vow, you better think about it.
Amen.
And when you start, we start again and get to the family, we're going to get into the young adults, where you sisters, you remember, you vow a vow to that boy, Brother Branham says, you're married.
Right.
But that don't mean you can go off and live with him.
Right.
No. This is where that begins, right here, in the pulpit. All right? And we'll get all into all that, and I found some quotes the other day that's really good, but we'll get into that a little bit later. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, cattle, earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Right.
So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's what he wanted.
Amen.
You women are not a mistake.
Right.
You were in the plan all along.
Amen.
Right? You were not a mistake. You actually were created to reproduce.
Amen.
I didn't, verse 28, can y'all pull 28 up? If not, I think I can just about quote it. And be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth,
Amen. And
subdue it.
Right.
If you don't have it, don't worry about it, guys. So what did he put us in this agreement to do? To create, or to procreate, all right? Now, we know it was supposed to be done by spoken word. Now, let's go to Genesis 2:7. God didn't want us to stay in spirit. He wanted somebody to fellowship with. He wanted somebody to till the ground. Because he says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God wasn't happy with just fellowshipping with Adam in spirit.
Right. Exactly.
You think, boy, that would be great. No, God, this is what God wanted.
Amen.
Whether you think it is or not, this is what God wanted.
Right.
God wanted to make a man with this right here on him. And then put that he wanted to fellowship with inside so he could talk to him.
Yep.
All right? Now let's go to Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Because remember, God created man for what? Fellowship.
Amen.
But now then the one he created got lonely.
Yep.
And he needed fellowship.
What?
He had something inside of him that wanted fellowship. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. We'll get into that in just a little bit. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam. Now, I want you to keep this in your mind. Adam had no fear whatsoever on the face of this earth.
Amen.
He did not fear the leopard. He did not fear the lion. He did not fear the weather. He did not fear tornadoes. He did not fear earthquakes. There was no fear in this man at this point in time. He had complete fellowship with the Almighty. You say, boy, that's a long way out of the way. I'll read you a quote in a minute. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam. So there was communication. To see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called them, that was it. Look at the authority. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there wasn't found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
Right.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother.
Amen.
Hello? All you parents say, hallelujah. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave. Remember with that word cleave, we'll look at it in just a minute. That word cleave in the translation, it comes from English. It's actually, in the Hebrew, it means glue. G-L-U-E. That's the word they use, cleave, in the Hebrew, for the word cleave is glue. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be glued unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh.
Right.
Now there's a lot of implications there. You can go to where, you know, it talks about cleave. Because you can't come unglued and go back to your mom and daddy. You've got to stay glued to that wife.
Exactly.
And all the parents say, amen. Now look. Adam didn't say, she is now a lesser part of me. And she is a separate person from me, which, all right, hold on. No, she is actually a man given to Adam, part of the man, called a man with a womb, to reproduce himself. All right? She shall be called woman. Her name wasn't even Eve. Her name was Adam. They were co-equal. They were joint heirs. Together.
Amen.
That's the first covenant.
Right.
All right? Because we're going to look at, there's a double covenant got to come into this thing, and that's why we're under the place we are now. But still, even in that single covenant, he wants you to get married.
Yeah.
There's the first marriage vow.
Right.
Adam said, this is Adam vowing to Eve,
amen,
or woman. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and he named her.
Right.
God didn't. He named her woman. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. All right, now put up quotes 1 and 2. This is, Brother Brown called, this is the first marriage vow. Invisible union of the bride 1965. Marriage is the oldest institution in the world. Marriage was performed first and instituted in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Now, all the rest of this, we're going to come back to this with the characteristics of the woman, but let me read it because this is what Eve was entrusted with. Right?
Right.
We didn't change the characteristics of a woman
right.
even after the fall. She had the same characteristics.
Right.
A woman is entrusted with certain characters that she must not defile. A woman is trusted to that. Now, woman was trusted with that. Capital W. We're talking about the one standing beside of Adam.
Right.
A woman is trusted to that. There's not a creature on earth like woman. There's no female dog, no female of any kind entrusted with the character that a woman is.
Right.
A woman was not even in the beginning of the creation
right.
because God knew that she would fall. All other females could not commit adultery.
Amen.
She is the only one that can commit adultery. If she had been made like the original, that would have been discomplimentary to God's great wisdom.
Exactly.
Pretty strong. See, she was made a byproduct of a man. Not a lesser form. But because she was cast over in that side, in other words, the fall,
right.
she has also been given a sacred charge from God for redemption.
Amen.
Here we can spiritualize a little bit. That's the reason Christ had a bride.
Right.
Christ didn't need redeeming.
Right.
The bride needs redeeming.
Amen.
But through her will come redemption. But because she was cast over in that side, she has been given a sacred charge from God for redemption. She's got characters that must not be defiled.
Right.
If she would mar them, she is defiled for a lifetime. We see now Eve did the same thing. Or when she became Eve, woman did the same thing. No matter how much she is forgiven, she can't be justified.
Right.
I'll strike that in a little bit. Got a scripture on that in a few minutes. She can be forgiven for her defilement. Absolutely.
Right.
But she cannot be justified. In other words, she can't say, no, I'm a virgin. If she's had four men, sorry, she's not a virgin. If she's had one man, she's not a virgin.
Right.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just going to be plain. She can be forgiven. You can be forgiven and your slate wiped clean, but you'll never forget it.
Right.
Not in this life, anyway.
Exactly.
That's what we're working on, this life, right here. We'll get to heaven, I promise you. But let's work on this one down here first.
Amen.
Got a scripture on that in a few minutes. She can be forgiven for her defilement, but she cannot be justified in this life. It's always with her. Notice now, she's been given this. She may be forgiven, but not justified. In other words, men and women, you give up your virginity and it's lost. It's done. Finished. Can't get it back. Okay? And I'm going to read you a quote here in just a few minutes. Where Brother Branham said it doesn't matter if you've been married 60 years, if you've never had but just one husband and one wife, he said, you're just as pure as the day you were a virgin. Even though you've had relations for 60 years. Why? Because of this sacred wedding vow.
Amen.
All right? Everybody okay?
Amen.
Now, the first thing in the origin of marriage, we saw now what God has done. God has given man and woman to reproduce their self.
Right.
Even before sex was involved.
Right.
All right? Spoken word. That's what we got to come back to, the spoken word. All right? Which is the spiritual part. Which didn't happen, but it was supposed to happen.
Right.
That's what he's saying right here. There's the vow. The woman was given a sacredness.
Right.
That she was only supposed to be with Adam. But Eve was found with committing adultery. So that put her down in a lesser form.
Right.
All right? But now, just as God is going to restore everything else, he's going to restore that. He's got to restore perfect fellowship. So God created us to what? Fellowship with Him. Let's look at quote number three. Okay. Now let's read. Now they're okay. They had a lot to do. I give them about 10 pages of quotes. So, fellowship with God through reconciliation. Every nation is trying to get an atomic bomb now over ruling power to say all nations will bow to my... It can't do it. But God laid down a program in the beginning how that man can have fellowship one with another.
Right.
And we'll have to come to God's terms on it, that's all. In the beginning, when man used to walk in the early age with God in the Garden of Eden, when the first man was created in the great cathedrals under the palms, he and his wife, when the cool of the evening come along, they came out and worshiped God, had a perfect fellowship. God longs for fellowship. He yearns. He wants people to speak with him, to talk with him. He says, you might do one thing. You might do this too much or that too much. But there's one thing you won't overdo, and that's prayer. Amen. That's the way you fellowship with God. You commune with God through prayer, all right? And talking with him, excuse me. And also, brothers and sisters, you can go on up if you want to. You'll never be able to have too much fellowship with God.
Amen.
And God longs for his creature, who he created in his image, to fellowship with him. Wouldn't you love to have lived in that time when the great fellowship God had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? To come down in the cool of the evening and talk with them and fellowship with them. Wouldn't that be marvelous? We all would like to have that time. Now listen to this. Now I believe by God's word I can prove to you that we can come right back on them terms again with God tonight. Not tomorrow, not in glory, not at the wedding supper. He said tonight. Right straight back to that kind of fellowship. All right? So we establish now, let's go to Genesis 3. God had Adam and Eve in the garden, and there was no fear. They walked straight up to Almighty God and spoke to him because there was nothing in their mind. There was nothing that had muddled their mind up. Their bodies were naked, but had no problem. They were covered with what we said before. Brother Brown said they were covered with the Holy Ghost veil. Satan got to that Holy Ghost veil and made it a lust veil. We'll get to that in a little while, maybe tonight or this afternoon. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto woman, see now, Satan is having fellowship. But is it the right kind? You got to determine that.
Yeah.
You shall not ever eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, shut up, talk to my husband.
Yeah.
That's what she should have said.
Yeah.
But now the woman is... always got to say something. Amen. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.
Right.
All right. She got up on her pulpit, the prophet said. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. One word, not. For God doesn't know the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw what Satan was talking about, the revelation that he was bringing to her, when she saw that the tree was good for food, because listen, sisters are more emotional. Sisters are more easy to be deceived because you take your emotion every time, right? You do. That's just the way you were made. That's why the feminist part of Adam came out into woman, or Eve, and she had the emotional part. And he said, and listen... And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she partook of what the serpent said and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. All right, so you understand we know what went on. Brother Dale just went through all that. And the eyes of them both were opened and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? Listen to this. Fellowship broke right here. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Fear. Fear. Fear broke fellowship. Fear. He said, now why wasn't he afraid before? Before he walked right up to God. Not a problem. He could hear God coming. He could feel that anointing. He walked right up to God. But now what happened? And I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. In other words, the Lord said, who told you that you were naked? And the man said, the woman.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Branham, you know how he says they started passing the buck. Because Adam should have said, God, I knew what I was doing. But see, it's not our nature.
Right.
And the man said, the woman thou gavest me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. In other words, they were passing the buck down the line. Watch. Man, Adam, woman, and the beast all lived together in perfect harmony without the devil.
Right.
They had fellowship.
Right.
Right? There was no fear.
Amen.
There was no fear in that fellowship.
Right.
That's why in the New Testament you see where it says, come boldly to the throne. That's why we can get back.
Right.
We can get back to God. All right? And it's okay to remember that these things are spiritually minded, that we'll remember these things. But still, look how now that God's going to have to deal with this. In making another covenant.
Yeah.
Covenant was man and woman, God, multiply and replenish the earth.
Yeah.
No, nothing muddled up in there. Everything flowed just perfect.
Right.
But now what happens? You bring fear in it, and when you bring fear in, you break fellowship. You tell me, before you were born again, when you were first married to your husband or your wife, everybody has this fear of them not loving them. Or this fear of this happening. Or this fear of that happening. Watch Jesus when he comes back in the New Testament. What's the first thing he says? He walks right up and he says, fear not. Why? Because the fear factor is coming up because you're human. Just like it did in the garden. Hey, he was the one standing in the garden talking to Adam. So it wasn't any different. When he came down here in human flesh, when a man walked up to him, he said, fear not. Why? He saw that fear raising up in the people.
Right.
And it was killing them because if it destroyed fellowship. If it destroyed fellowship because of fear, how's it going to restore fellowship? Doing away with fear.
Right.
All right? Because Adam said, I was afraid. So that broke fellowship. And then instead of going, well, God, it was all my fault. I knew what I was doing. No, he said she did it. So that broke fellowship because Eve turns around and gets mad at Adam. Because she says, hey, no, it wasn't that. It was me. It was him. The serpent. So here they go. They start passing the buck. Fellowship just starts pulling apart. Well, Adam don't fellowship with animals no more. Separated. But God thought so much of that marriage vow, though. And there was so much of God in Adam, till he didn't want to throw Eve away. Because Eve was a part of him. He remembered that vow he made. He said, we two shall be one flesh. Actually, like Brother Branham said, God would have had to kill Abraham because Sarah was part of Abraham. And they weren't literally a part of each other. Adam and Eve were literally, DNA-wise, bone of bone, flesh of flesh. All right? But now tell me, you say, well, I married my wife and she wasn't part... If you're born again, you and your wife should have the same DNA if you're both born again, right? And when we get to heaven, we're going to have the same DNA. So there's a lot of things you can say about that, how close that gets to putting us back into the right order. But we'll leave that for another time. So now, this, let's go to Genesis 3. We got 3, let's do 14 through 17. So God says, well, I can't fellowship with you no more. Not like I used to. Adam, you can't fellowship with the animals like you used to. Eve, you have done what you've done and you can't fellowship either way. Watch. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above every cattle, every beast of the field, and upon your belly you'll go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. You know how I tell you about that. The dust the serpent eats is this thing right here. That's what he's eating. He's eating this dust right here. This is what he's eating. Serpent don't eat dust and live. This is what he eats right here. But here's the promise in 15 to put it back together. Because to me, Genesis 3:15 is the entire Bible. Entire Bible written in one verse. That's why it was written for. And I, God. In other words, Adam, you can't do it, but I can. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking about the serpent and the woman.
Right.
What is enmity? Division. God started dividing it up, but he began after that to start putting it back together. Because enmity is division. So God is saying, this is the way it's going to have to be now. It's got to be another covenant entered in. Brother Branham calls it a double covenant. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So there's division between woman and animal. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, it what? It is the woman's seed.
Amen.
Now you can hit a guy in the heel all the day long, and it won't kill him. And that's what Satan's been doing. See, it says, thou shalt bruise his heel.
Yeah.
Thou. In other words, Satan is taking us down to the grave. But her seed, the woman's seed, will bruise thy head. Who? The serpent. So he's going to kill that thing, hit it in the head. But the serpent still got a little bit of hold because of what he's doing right here. Because, see, that woman was standing in verse 16 and had two seeds in her.
Right.
The serpents, the beast, natural, and Adam. Right? So he couldn't kill her. Watch this. Until the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow.
Right.
Here's your covenant, sister. This is the way it is. And I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception.
Yep.
What is your sorrow? You're unclean there for 28 days, you're unclean. So, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yep.
All right? I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. In other words, you're going to hurt. It's going to be painful. Thank God men don't have to have them. And they did, but now look, that's why God set a woman the way she was, okay? The way your hips are formed, the way you were formed, God didn't just have to redo the whole thing. He made you right to start with, okay? Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire, this is the one the people don't like, well, the women anyway. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That wasn't in the first covenant.
Right.
That was not in the first covenant. It was Adam and Eve together, co-equal.
Right.
Joint heirs. That's why in 1 Peter, if you'll read, that's what the restoration is. Back to joint heirs in the glory of the Lord.
Right.
Remember, we just read it in chapter 3, verse 7 of Peter. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow you'll bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. He's not finished. Guys, we got a part two.
Right.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it, all the days of thy life. And then it keeps going on to dust. You go back to the dust because that's where you came from. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. What? Death. So we come into a double covenant. Now look. This covenant was not made out of hatred. God didn't hate that the woman did this. Because he knew she was going to do it. He designed her so that she could do it. Because he didn't make her in the original creation. Now, he didn't design her to make her do it.
Right.
He knew she would do it. Therefore, he made her where she could.
Yeah.
All right? And unto Adam it said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now, God, listen. God had to bring this new covenant in to restore fellowship. Fellowship was broke before this was just an act afterwards. This is what God told him. Now you got a double covenant. The man's going to be ruler over the wife, right? Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. All right? There's a new covenant between man and woman now. But I wrote it here, it's not out of hatred. Because look, what was the first covenant? The Old Testament. We're going to spiritualize a little bit now, okay?
Yeah.
Click, click. Because we couldn't keep the Old Testament. Right?
Right.
That was the first covenant. In other words, you say, well, no, it's not. We got an Abraham. No, listen. God give us do's and don'ts through the Old Testament, right?
Yeah, right.
Right? That's where it started. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Well, he come in with the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I know it goes into grace. But we couldn't keep, remember Paul said, you can't keep the law.
Right.
You can't keep it. The law was given because of your transgression. Why? Because you couldn't do the do's and don'ts.
Right.
But he gave us the second covenant, the grace covenant. That's what that is. That's not that now man's supposed to have power and rulership over the woman and treat her like dirt. No. Every time I look at my wife, most every time I look at my wife, I think of Christ in the church. I think of how I'm acting. Because as she acts toward me, the Bible says, what? Christ is going to treat me like I treat her. I told you what are you men moving around now for? You had your chest back a few minutes ago, but why are you moving around before? Because as God treats you is how you treat your wife. But you look at the wife, and that's how you honor her as the weaker vessel. We're going to read Scripture maybe later on. We want to go a lot further than this, but I want to read this quote number 5. So we couldn't even keep the first covenant God gave us, which would be by the law. Then he come in with the Abraham covenant, but that was still in the Old Testament. But the only time we can live it is when God came in with what? The death of the testator, or a New Testament.
Amen.
Right? We had the Old Testament, we couldn't live it.
Right.
Now that we have the New Testament, we can live the Old Testament. Because we got the what? Death of the testator, and that testator now lives in us.
Right.
All right, now look. Marriage and divorce. Two covenants. Now that closes the beginning of what Jesus said. It wasn't so at the beginning. We got another covenant now. Notice it's another covenant. Now there's a covenant for the product and the byproduct.
Right.
Notice the fall brought trouble, death to every creature
right.
of the creation.
Amen.
And like we said before, you go back to Romans 8. The whole creation does what? Groans and travails. They didn't do this. We did. So they're groaning, looking at us. What? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, just like Adam did in the beginning. All right? Now there is a covenant for the product and the byproduct. Notice, the fall brought trouble. Death to every creature of the creation, making a difference in all nature. Right? Now let us notice what Jesus said from the beginning. It wasn't so. Remember they asked him the question. Now it is not so from, it is now, it is after the beginning.
Right.
In other words, afterwards. Now there's a double covenant. First was just a covenant. Adam and Eve was co-equal.
Amen.
One man, one woman. Now the woman sinned, and what did she do? That threw them all to death. And God had to make a covenant by that, another covenant. Here it is right here in Genesis 3:16. He made another covenant. Now the world is to be repopulated, not by the original creation of God, like in the beginning, not by the original creation, but by sex desire.
Right.
Now that takes care of the beginning, doesn't it? In the beginning, there was only one man and one woman, one male, one female. But when she crossed that line and brought this sin, now the world is to be repopulated again by sex, not by creation. By sex. See where the woman is at now. But that's the way the world is populated today, through women. That's the reason Jesus had to come through the woman to bring it back to its original beginning again without sex desire. He's virgin born, but hallelujah, there will come a time where it won't be no more sex. But God shall call his children from the dust of the earth. What are you talking about? Resurrection. Back like they was in the original, not through any woman, but through the molding of the clay and the cosmic light and the petroleum. He will create again like he did Adam at the first time. Jesus made this possible by God making himself a man and coming into the world so he could die through this woman. Now is testing time by sin.
Right.
All right, everybody got that? So that's the two covenants. The covenant now is man is to have rulership over the woman. And she's supposed to now multiply and replenish the earth by the way we all got here, which was by sexual desire. All right? Now let's go to number 6. Listen to this. This is a good one. From that time in Spokane, Washington, 1962, listen to this. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's your American privilege, you say. Oh, yeah. If you're a lamb forfeits his rights.
Right.
He don't have but one thing, wool, and he forfeits that. If you're a lamb, you'll forfeit your American rights to serve God. Say, I can dress the way I want to. It's none of your business. It's not me, brother and sister. It's the Bible. God made a man and made him dress like a man. Made a woman to dress like a woman. Made them act different. And made two covenants with them and everything else. It's always been. The light has come. Your Adam might let you get by with it, but brother, God won't, because that's the word. Now you men sit around and do such things as that, aren't you ashamed, brothers, deacons? Men who say they're men of God act like that when that's just the first primer or primary. When you go to school, you go to what? Primary school. Why? Because you get 1 + 1 = 2. Alright? You get a foundation. That's just the first primer lesson of it. How can you go into deep things of discerning the Spirit and things like that if you don't even take the first thing? Now, what he's talking about is you keep going on down through here, you got woman that put on manicure and makeup and stuff like that. You know, all the do's and don'ts of the message. What he's saying is, if you allow that to go on, you're not even at the primary things. Everybody awake? Okay. That's the first primer lesson of it. Listen, the most basic primer lesson in these matters is to understand that God has put us under a double covenant that establishes the role of the male and the female. So that's established. Male and female have different roles.
Right.
All right? If it had not been for the fall, they'd have had the same role. They would have both been ruler over the earth. Both would have been ruler over the creation. But now, what happened in the garden, you say, well, that's, Brother Brown says, see, that's discomplimentary to think God wouldn't know that, or God wouldn't do that and use it for redemption. So that's what he's doing. He's using it for redemption. All right? Because the only way you and I can get here on the earth was cursed. Remember, he didn't curse Adam, he cursed the earth. The earth was cursed, so we all had to be in the fall to have a Savior, to save us. So we had to go down into that crust of the earth. Where we are, all of our bodies were laying there in Genesis 3 when God said, Adam, cursed is the ground. There we are. This thing's cursed. This thing comes cursed. All
right?
We got to live with this. This is what happened. But God said, through the woman, I'll bring it back. So see, I do see the man and woman in different roles, but when we get up yonder, it's not going to be, June, go fix me some lunch. Or where's my wife? No, it's like Brother Gary and I were talking. You know, he's got Sister Rebecca and Sister Margaret. Brother Branham had, remember, Mita and Hope. And Brother Branham said, well, now, Mita said Hope was jealous, right? You remember? He said, oh, there's no jealousy over there. He said, we'll walk arm in arm and never have to worry about any of that. Why? All the F-E-A-R is going to be gone. That's our problem right now. We fear that we're not doing the right thing, which godly fear is good. But we fear that we're not doing the right thing. We fear that our wife will get mad at us. Come on, people. We fear that we'll do something. We should be in godly reverence and godly fear, but not fear like Adam was afraid. Adam was scared. Adam was, as the old saying says, he was shaking in his boots, if he had any boots. He was shaking because he knew that he didn't, when he felt that presence coming like it did before, it felt different.
Yeah.
Something felt wrong.
Right.
Something didn't feel right. There was not a connection. Same way as a sinner sitting in a congregation. I've done it before. I used to be the Christmas and Easter guy. Here. There wasn't a fellowship. It was a what? A condemnation. A fear. But now, see, we're supposed to come boldly before the throne of grace. We're supposed to come into the sanctuary. And even though we may be fearful of things, we're not supposed to have that fear. If you got the Holy Ghost, that should do away with the fear inside. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost will lead you to the Word. So don't have any fear in that. Then that fear's got to work its way out. Don't worry about our feelings. All right? So now, Satan has obviously done one thing. He has diluted this fellowship and this honorable part of marriage, because you see what's going on out in the world and how the divorce rates and all the things are going on. Because remember, he's made it cheap. He's made it easy. Oh, I just put her away and give me another one. Yeah. Or I don't like the way she cooks. Or I don't like the way he cooks. Or I don't like... See the fellowship? Now let's talk about our fellowship for just a minute. Then we'll get one more point in, and then we'll stop for this evening. Because I want to stop at certain points. Because like June said, she said, you ought to just preach 15 minutes because that's all we're going to get. That's true, though. You only get 15 minutes of whatever hour you got. You're only going to remember about 15 minutes unless you go back and listen to the tape. All right? So I went over 15 minutes. But I'm going to stop in about 15 minutes. So maybe you'll get this 15 minutes. But Satan has polluted it so much to where even the fellowship between even us and our spouse. And those of you that don't have a spouse here, you know, we're praying. That's all I can say is we're praying. We're praying. We've added them to the list and we're praying. Because you can't be truly one. We're going to talk this afternoon about the relationship. You know, you always heard the story, three's a crowd. Not in a Christian relationship. Nope, three's not a crowd. Brother Bram said you got to have man, woman, and God. Without those three, won't work. Sorry, don't matter how good you think your relationship is with your wife or your husband that's not here, without God in that three, I'll read what Brother Bram said. There's something strong in there, he says, and I'm going to read it, but I'm just going to let the prophet deal with it. You deal with it with him. Because he said if you sit there and you dwell in it, I'll read it tonight, this afternoon, but he said if you dwell with it and you allow it to happen in your home, he said you're not even a Christian. I told you. I'm going to find out whether you believe you're a prophet or not. But now look. Let's go back to Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow on thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, that thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now pull up quote number 7. Marriage and divorce. Now notice, after the beginning, after time began. Time began when? After the fall. Back in that was eternity is over. Notice, after that fall was made by Eve, after the fall there was need to be another covenant made. Now this is going to stumble you, but I'm going to give you scripture to prove that it's the truth. Now notice, after the fall, Jesus said God at the beginning made one of a kind. But now, after the fall, now we're going beyond that. The covenant was co-equal, but now after the fall, there's another covenant made. Now she is no longer ruler with him. Each must have a separate covenant. Now that's, we're going to break that out when we get finished with the marriage part today, maybe. We're going to break that out into the role of the male and the role of the female and bring it right down through scripture. All right. Then we're going to put it back together as a family. All right. Now go to 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So there's your, any way you want to put it, that's the way it's got to come. All right? The head of the woman is the man. Right. Now, we're going to cover that. You say, well, I'm not going to leave it. This afternoon, we're going to cover all the different things about honor and respect. We're going to talk about reverence, obeying. See, it's not... A lot of times what we think, Brother Branham was real hard on the women. Why? he was speaking spiritually because he's trying to get the bride lined up as long as the women, getting the women lined up in the world or in the Christianity. He was trying to get the women lined up, but he was trying to get the bride lined up.
Amen.
That's what he was sent for.
Right.
See, Brother Dale was sent to preach to this congregation,
right,
to get the women lined up, the men lined up, and to get the bride, but he wasn't sent to get all the bride lined up.
Right.
But Brother Branham was sent to get all the bride lined up.
Right.
So see, that's why he had to preach the way he did. He was preaching to local congregations, but he was talking, right? Right, Brother Dean? He was talking to the whole bride.
Right.
See, our prophet talks to everybody.
Right.
But he was trying to get this group to see that the woman was still part of the man. God never said the woman wasn't part of the man.
Right.
He just said, this is what you got to do, and this is what you got to do.
Exactly.
Right? He never took Genesis 1:26 out. Right? Never said we're not going to be one flesh. But he gave us different covenants to live under.
Right.
But what he's trying to do is see, he's trying to get the woman of the world lined up because he was typing them with the bride.
Yeah.
Same way with you and I.
Right.
In this local assembly. Men and women get lined up. Guess what? That's for the whole assembly.
Right.
What did I just read you? That your prayers be not hindered. That's powerful. That's powerful. That if you don't do these certain simple primer things. Sisters, you know one thing's for sure. Brother Bram said, if you cut your hair, put scissors to your hair, God will not hear your prayer except for your repentance. That's it. So you can sit there and pray all day. That's just like that woman. She had went to psychiatrists. She had went to doctors. She had been prayed for. She was going crazy. And nobody knew why. Brother Branham said, I don't care. He said, you can pour oil all over him. I think I still got it back there. He said, lady, we can pour gallons of oil on you. You can go to the greatest psychiatrist in the world, which she had been to most of them. She said, but that thing went back under the gable part of your soul of what you did to your husband way back when he was off in the war and said, you have let that thing stay in there and said, there's nothing. He said, the devil will always have a hold on that until you get rid of it. Right?
He
said, lady, we can pour gallons of oil on your head and pray until the day she died and it'd do her no good.
Right.
You see how God works? God don't go past his word. God won't go past his word.
Right.
So you sisters, you cut any of you cutting your hair today, I don't care if you cut this much or forgive me, burn it off.
Yep.
You've cut it.
Right. Amen.
Hello?
Right.
Then God ain't listening. You can sit there and pray for your family. You can pray for anything you want to pray for. God ain't listening to it.
Right. Amen.
God ain't listening to that. But when you come back like that lady had to do, he said, lady, go get your husband. When you two make it right, and they did, he said they gave their hearts to God. Right there, they both knelt down, gave their heart to God, and lived a wonderful Christian life. Confession.
Right.
So cut your hair, forget about praying, except for yourself. Say, God, forgive me, restore me back, and then let me pray for my children, then let me pray for my husband, then let me pray for whoever it is. But listen, while we're established here on the earth, you notice I got a big tablet. I couldn't get it all on my little tablet, Brother Dick. I got one big like yours. I wrote myself a note, said this was established while we're here on the earth, and this is just the way it is. And it is. Let me read this to you. A marriage covenant. Now, to every one of us that got married, listen to this. The marriage covenant itself is based on the double covenant God established with man and woman. It is very clearly establishes the roles and responsibilities of both husband and wife. Look at the portion of this wedding ceremony that speaks of these scriptural roles. And did y'all get it, Brother Joe? Where you? There we go. So here's the marriage covenant. This is what you hear most of the time in the wedding. I did one where it was a little bit different, but it was basically the same. Wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife? Now this is a vow. To live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony. Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, in wrinkles and in sagging faces and no teeth. And I read a quote last night where Brother Branham said, he said, I look at the, somebody was standing before him, and I didn't use it on this, but he said, somebody was standing before him getting married, and he said, I thought, you know, Lord, and, oh, he was praying afterward. He said, Lord, you know, in 30 years, they're not going to look like this. In other words, that's what he's saying. 30 years, they're not going to look like this. And he said, what are they going to do now? So the prayer, he said, Lord, make them always to see each other as the first day they were married.
Amen.
All right. Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others,
right,
mother-in-laws,
yeah,
father-in-laws,
right,
sisters, brothers,
yeah,
mommies and daddies even,
man,
forsake all others, keep thee only unto her as long as you both shall live. And you're supposed to respond, yes. That's your vow.
Right.
Now listen to the woman, though. Let's. Wilt thou have this man? This come from Brother Brown. This was from where he was marrying somebody. Wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? See, now he didn't put obey in his. It put honor. Because you're supposed to honor, but wilt thou, this is scriptural, wilt thou obey him and serve him, love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him so long as you both shall live.
Amen.
So it's till death do we part, right? Now let's cover one more thing. Well, let's not. Let's stop right there. Because this afternoon we're going to cover being married in his name and then bringing the things together of the purpose for marriage, which we'll get back into fellowship. But that's exactly what we must do. Look, wilt thou obey him and serve him? So we see that the double covenant has come in. Keep your vow. Your vow comes down into your marriage. And you're supposed to live together just like this, in sickness and in health. You're supposed to obey your husband and serve him. Now, when's the only time you're not supposed to obey him? When it's not in the Lord. When it's not in the Lord. Now, Brother Branham said, if your husband says, hey, go on to church, or your wife says, hey, go on to church, that's your life. You know, the Bible says that's good to do that. Because you live in the life in front of them, being salty, you'll pull them in. All right? But now, if you're not, like Brother, my buddy's coming Wednesday night. He said, if you live a hound dog life, you're a hound dog.
Yeah.
You're not a lamb. You're a hound dog. So you live a hound dog life in front of your family, like Daddy's always said, and I agree. I didn't want to act like somebody else's father. I wanted to act like my father.
Yeah.
I didn't want to act like the way some of the other people was acting. You know, I've told you many times before, our actions speak louder than our words.
Right,
so even the little things that we do at home with our husband and wife that are not believing, we still got to believe for them, but we got to be so salty. We got to be so reverent, and even to them, they can just lash back at you. Look at the illustration that Brother Branham gave of that woman that gave her heart to the Lord. Her husband was drunk. Remember what he come home and he said, hey, I want to show you. Well, see, he knew what she was going to do. That man knew what that wife was going to do. He knew it. He just didn't know he was going to get caught up in it and get saved. But he was telling his buddy, he said, hey, I got my wife, she'll clean up. Your wife won't do that. She'll throw you out the door. Remember, he goes in and he slaps the eggs on the table and slaps them into the floor. And him and his buddy, they act like they were drunk and walked back out of the house and went back around and looked in the window. And there she was. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Converted both men. Just because what she did.
Amen.
Just because what? It wasn't like she, you know what? Like most of us, we might have picked it up, but we were over there going, I wish I could have whacked him upside the head while I had it. Next chance I get. She didn't. Now listen, your sisters are not supposed to be a doormat and put up with stuff like that. But she did. And it won her husband and that man to Jesus Christ. Didn't have to have a preacher in that. She was her own sermon right there. All right, same way with you and I. Let's stand. Each one of us ought to be the same way. in our walk and our marriage and our fellowship with God and our fellowship with our wife and our husband. But you know what? If you know, we need to live in harmony. We need to live in no fear. Brother Branham said he didn't, you know, when he said his wife, you know, he'd go off somewhere and his wife would, he was afraid she'd commit adultery or afraid that he would commit adultery. And he said, no, he said, I just love her.
Amen.
Right. I just love her. So she knows I won't do it and I know she won't do it.
Right.
So same way with you and I as couples, we need to be able to have a holy reverence for each other.
Right.
But don't fear each other. If you go home fearing your husband or your wife, you need to come to the altar. If you go home fearing that your husband or wife is going to do something, you know, to you or to harm your relationship, then God's not the third person in this. All right, you need to get God in there first. Vows, marriage. Tonight we're going to talk about a little bit more about the relationship. We'll get into fellowship, relationship. I like that one. And we're going to get into obey and honor, and we should be able to get through with the marriage part, and then maybe start next week on the role of the male and then the role of the female. So everybody enjoyed? Is it okay?
Amen.
You get some things that you really enjoyed? But I wanted to take it by the scripture. I don't want you to listen to my opinion because see, I could sit down and say, Brother Gary, this is how I treat my wife. You say, well, I don't treat mine that way. I'll treat mine this way. It's not that we're wrong. We're just different. But there is a basic truth that everybody's got to live by. The double covenant is not that Brother Richard can let his wife rule over him, which is not true, and then I can't. No, that's the double covenant that we have to live under. We have to live under that covenant. And we'll read that Brother Branham said, and I read to you guys that when we went to the marriage thing, if a woman gets out of her role, what is she? Antichrist. That's an antichrist spirit if a woman gets out of her role as being the female in the marriage. So, I told you, we're going to find out whether we really believe the prophet or not.
Right.
So let's sing a song.
271 is the course.
271 in the spiral book.
Yeah.
I'm so glad
that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family of God. Sing that chorus again. Glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family of God. You believe that? Of the family of God, I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Anyone have a need? Join us with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of this family, the family of God. Amen. You love the Lord? Be part of a family, but you got to realize to be family down here.
Right.
Got to be a family down here. God instituted a family, or we wouldn't have one. God instituted a family to show what the spiritual family looks like.
Glory.
And for us to live, honor, respect, and obey our husbands, us to respect, honor, and obey God.
Right.
That's the institution coming down. But we all have certain things that we're going to talk about maybe this afternoon as far as fellowship and things like that with your spouse, because I think one thing is, and I know June and I have not done this because we don't have a lot of arguments. We really don't. We don't have a lot of arguments. Maybe one or two a day or No, probably one or two a month, maybe. But she's good. She's what God gave me, and I'm happy with it. All right? But there's ways that you can handle things. And, you know, I always thought that this was a great thing to do. And that's if you ever started into an argument with your spouse, is just bow your head and say, let's pray. Boy, that'd take all the boiling. That'll take all the what I'm going to say to him and what I'm going to say to her. Just bow your head and say, Lord, we're about to get into an argument. And it's just differences. And I mean, we're different people. I mean, we're different. We are different. And I think I have a quote in here somewhere that Brother Branham said that. He said, you may have an opinion and your wife may have an opinion. But when you come together, I'm going to tell you, pray before you do. Pray before you start into an argument or anything you do. Just bow your head and just say, honey, let's pray about this before we start. And then afterwards, you know, if you want to throw pies at each other or plates, whatever, but at least you, that kind of settles it, that warms it all up, you know, kind of settles all that sharpness. We just need to quit being sharp with each other. Just, you're always going to have differences. You know, we're talking about in the Dave Ramsey class, you got free spirits and you got nerds. Well, free spirits like to spend money and nerds like to save money. Well, you need both of those in a marriage. If you don't, if you're a free spender, that's why a lot of you are in the class. So one of you's got to become a nerd. That what? Does the money crunching, that does the, you know, writing it on the paper and accounting for everything. But you know, it's all one thing. And it's change. We got to change. We're not trying to change people to a Dave Ramsey mentality. No, I'm just trying to help us get through life. That's what this is going to do. This is, if you're not willing to change, you're not going to.
Right.
Somebody told me the other day, said, well, Brother Dale preached this several years ago and said, it ain't done no good. I said, well, you know, maybe I'll try it one more time. You know, people still living the way they are. Well, you know what? The Bible has a word for that. Iniquity. It's knowing to do good. What's the first seal? You want to know what the first seal is? It's a mystery of your iniquity.
Right.
Not somebody else's.
Exactly.
Not the devil's. God don't have any. Who's left? The iniquity right here is what's keeping me here.
Right.
Me knowing to do better or knowing not to do something, and I go ahead and do it anyway.
Right.
That's why I'm still here. So let's pray, and we'll come back this afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you just be with us, Lord. I know it's been kind of dry, Lord, but we pray that your Spirit would come among us in a special way, that you would touch our hearts, and Lord, if we need changing, Lord, just change it. You said you would change our heart and make it soft. You take that old stony heart, Lord, that doesn't want to change or doesn't want to do your will. Maybe, Lord, that you would just come in and soften that heart up, Father, so that you can speak to us more. Lord, even the ones, Lord, that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and had the new birth for 30, 40 years, may still we realize that we need help from you, Father. As we go through our natural married life, the changes and the things that go on and the children and the life crisis and the things that we do, Lord, kind of does type our spiritual life, that where we walk with you, Lord, on some days and it's dark and dreary and in some days the sun's shining. But Lord, you said through a little prophet one time, said a gloomy day doesn't mean that you're not with us, and a bright day doesn't mean that you're with us also. We just got to believe like Lord, before the fall, when Adam was fearless, when Adam just stood up and you walked up to him and spoke to him, Lord, just lip to ear and just communed with him. Lord, we desire that communion to come back together, that we cannot be fearful of not anything that we're going to do wrong, but Lord, but not be fearful to come into your presence. You said, Lord, through Peter, for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. To come up and take the things that we need. And Lord, we see that in the end time that we're supposed to do that as sons and daughters of God in the adoption stage is where we're supposed to be able to stand, Lord, and do as Adam and move the clouds and move the rain and command this earth again. Father, we know that it's groaning and aching. Every earthquake and every tidal wave is all showing that there's still a fall here, but that you're trying, Lord, through nature. Nature is trying to get back to that spot where there's no fear. Father, we pray that you'd be with the people and touch them and heal them. Give them deliverance, Lord, and may they go together, as Brother Branham said there, in marriage and divorce, seeing husbands and wife hugging and kissing each other, Lord, and living in the admonition of the Lord, taking all the things away that of the trials and toils of life, and just let us live, Lord, for the moment. Let us live for you, Father. be with us and take care of us, Lord, as we go and come back with you in a couple of hours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you.